Brad Graber is going to be joining us. He's a senior advisor who's been working with clients on personal financial planning and investment issues since 1996. He specializes in things like retirement planning, investment management. I love this, charitable giving optimization. And first of all, Brad, welcome. Glad you're joining us today.
Glad to be with you guys.
And charitable giving optimization, that's just being good stewards, isn't it?
It's a fancy word, right?
That's kind of what it boils down to, making the most of what God's given us.
And this is great. We're going to be talking about money. Brad's got a great heart for those who have never found their financial direction. He volunteers, gives his time in mentoring and teaching classes. And Brad, we just wanted to touch base with you and just talk a little bit about what the Bible has to say about giving. Coming up a little bit later in November is Giving Tuesday. And as I saw that, I think part of the problem is we're skewed in our thinking. So just want to start out, first of all, with a just really a definition of biblical stewardship. And we hear it all the time. Listener, don't tune out on this, because this is important stuff. So, Brad, what is biblical stewardship?
Well, to understand biblical stewardship, I think we first have to understand the term steward. And the term steward is basically given to somebody that has been given authority to manage someone else's property. So as we then go and consider what is biblical stewardship, we can go back to the beginning in creation, and we see that God is the owner of everything, and he created the earth. He then created us in his image, and he gave us dominion over the whole earth, and he told us to subdue it. And that task of subduing it was basically putting us in the role of stewards. So God made us his managers so that we would manage everything that he owns and use it to bring him glory. And I think that's the key of stewardship. We need to see, number one, that God is the owner of everything, but number two, our task is to use all those things, everything in creation, to bring him glory. And as we look at the area of personal finances, God gives us a lot of freedom in how we do that. We can spend money on our families, we can save money for future expenses, and at the same time, we can be giving back to God. And we always need to be striking a balance of what is the way that we can best glorify God. If we're ignoring our relationships, you know, let's say we ignore the relationship with our spouse, is that really bringing God glory, even if we're giving that money away? So we can't just completely ignore one area and think that we're glorifying God by overcompensating in another area. There's definitely a balance that needs to be taking place there.
I like the way that you remind us of that balance. So we're talking with Brad Graber. He's the creator of the Investing in Truth. The website's investingintruth.com. And Brad, you've got a heart for the Lord, and just what his word says about generosity. Kind of remind us what the Bible does say about generosity.
Well, there's a lot of things that the Bible has to say about generosity, but let me start with my favorite passage. It's found in 2 Corinthians 9:11, where he says, "You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." And I really like this verse because I think that our times of prosperity can be our toughest spiritual times, because self-reliance is a big enemy in our spiritual walk. And what we see in this verse is that God is not giving us wealth or giving us riches in these times of prosperity to spend on ourselves and to indulge ourselves. But instead, he's giving us that so that we can be generous. And the best part of the verse is, what's the result? The result is thanksgiving to God. So as we think back of stewardship and bringing God glory in all things, through our generosity, we're able to bring God glory. And essentially, all we're doing is taking God's blessing and turning it around to do that very thing.
But Brad, you don't understand. I've worked hard for this. I put in a lot of hours, my education, and you're trying to tell me that this really isn't mine. This is the culture says I'm supposed to be bigger and better and all this stuff. And you're saying generosity.
And there's the battle with culture.
Yeah.
So we all struggle with that one. And we take so much ownership in the things that we do. And that's why stewardship's so important. If we lose the focus that God is the owner of all things, he's given us, the word tells us he's given us the ability to to do our job, to earn an income, all those things. Without God, we can't do any of that.
You know, I said it kind of in general, and you did with culture, but as you mentor people, couples, what are the top couple of things that kind of keep them from being generous? What do you hear them say? I would be, but.
Well, you know, the lack of generosity is really a symptom, and there can be a lot of different root causes of that. You know, for some people, it's fear and a lack of understanding God's sovereignty and being able to trust in that. For a lot of us, unfortunately, it's what you just mentioned a minute ago, and it's getting caught up in the things of the world. You know, you can look at the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, and here you got a guy that had just an absolutely wonderful harvest season, and he was given a great capacity to be generous to others around him, to be generous to God. And what he do? His first focus was, I'm going to go build bigger barns. I'm going to store this up so I can sit back, eat, drink, and be merry. And God's response, you know, in this parable was kind of the shocker at the time. He says, fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you. And the final verse gives us the lesson of that parable. And in that we read, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And it's just such a reminder that when we face those times of prosperity, when we have surplus, more than we need, our focus shouldn't be inward. Our focus should always be outward. But, you know, it's that constant struggle with the world and all those things that are put before us that we see those and we can quickly lose that focus on God being the owner and, again, us being simply stewards of what he's given us.
Now, when people meet with you, Brad, just briefly, give us a snapshot of what happens. You know, when they come to you, are they coming to you because they're wanting to just figure out how they can be generous, live the way God wants them to financially with what's actually his?
Well, I get a lot of different scenarios that walk through the door. Some of them are the people that are struggling to make ends meet. And for those people, you know, it's trying to just help them to make wiser decisions, to understand. Again, it all goes back to Scripture. We all have to start there, and it doesn't matter if we have a lot or whether we have a little. You know, if you have a little, you still want to be a good steward and make wise decisions with what you have. If you've been blessed with great wealth even, then it's a matter of, okay, how am I using that to bring God glory? So that's where things like the, you know, optimizing our giving comes in, because we want to make the most of those things and turn it around to glorify God in the best way that we can. So there's not really the typical scenario that comes in, but the typical result of those conversations, it really boils down to discipleship, because we have to start with God's word. We got to understand what he's telling us, and regardless of where we are, whether God's blessed us with a lot or whether he's put us in a situation where things are tight, it doesn't matter. Stewardship is still the end result, and we want to be faithful with what he's given us.
Talking with Brad Graber this morning, he's a financial advisor and loves the Lord. Brad, I'm going to get really sticky here because I think we need real life as we talk about all aspects, otherwise we don't grow. So the question is, you know, people are saying maybe that's for somebody else, da-da-da-da-da-da, but I want to get down to spiritual growth. Do you believe or do you feel that the Bible teaches that lack of giving does impact my spiritual growth?
Well, Ray, we hadn't planned this out, but this is a real personal issue for me. And I can look back in my early professional days, and I didn't have a heart for God. I was one of those people that was chasing after the things of the world. And it wasn't until he changed my heart that I could actually turn my life over and submit to his lordship. So I can personally testify that a lack of generosity, a lack of just submission to God definitely impacted my spiritual growth. Mm. And we see multiple stories of this in the Bible. So you read the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, and we see that the seed that fell among the thorns, it was choked out by a deceitfulness of riches and a chasing of the world. And we also see the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. And I just love this story as well, because Jesus confronted this guy right where his heart struggle was. And he told him to go sell everything and follow him. And we're told that the rich young ruler, he went away sad. And I never caught that, all the years I was reading that story, that this man went away sad. Why did he go away sad? He had a choice to make. And he went away sad because he saw value in what Jesus was offering. But the problem was he didn't grasp the true value of the kingdom. You know, we read the other parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. And that tells us how valuable the kingdom is and how nothing else compares to it. Those people sold everything to get that thing of great value, which is the kingdom. And this rich young ruler, he saw value in what Jesus had, but not enough that he was willing to part with the things of this world. And, you know, I look at it as finances are the battleground for our hearts. And we read also in Scripture, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There it is. There's the battle. So where is our treasure? Because wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart's going to be. And if our treasure is in the things of this world, then how can we grow past that and serve God completely? We've got to be able to turn everything over to Him and see that the kingdom and Christ is where our treasure truly is.